Double dice.
Hello, guys. Welcome back to Double Dose. Annie, how are you going?
I'm good. How are you?
I am good. What's been happening?
Oh, this week has been a bit of an interesting week for me.
Mm-hmm.
I've been feeling a bit sick lately.
Yeah.
Just like really bloated, lethargic, not feeling my best. So I went and got like a full blood panel done through a holistic health coach.
I need to do that.
You should do it. So I did it and it turns out I have like candida overgrowth, which
I've actually heard of
you
this.
You have?
Yeah.
It's like an, I actually don't know what it is. It's like an overgrowth of something in your gut.
Some kind of bacteria?
Yes, I think so.
That can be good, but in small doses.
Yeah. So you should have a little bit, but if you've got too much, you can get really bad side effects like lethargy or fatigue, I should say, bloating, pain, all that guts related stuff, which I was getting. So I have to go on this like really hectic diet of like no gluten, no sugar,
That's hard. No dairy.
Yeah. It's like no coffee, really hectic for 4 months.
Because a long time.
Yeah.
Sugar and coffee I couldn't do.
Oh, like, you know what? It's been a week. And I'm actually doing okay. I'm getting like a slight craving for like a little square of chocolate. But I'm doing okay because like I'm eating a lot of protein. My health coach
has
me. Yeah, I'm full. So I'm like not. And I just eat fruit if I feel like a sugar craving.
Yeah, it's the best hack.
Oh, it is. But I'm like, oh my God, I've got 15 more weeks to go.
Do you feel better though?
I feel so much better already. Like it's just been the best thing for me. And it's good to know what's wrong with me as well because I can actually fix it.
I have an answer.
Yeah.
When I went vegan, I felt so much better within a couple of days, probably because a lot of those high sugary like processed foods are not vegan. So
yes.
I was cutting them out, but not intentionally.
Yeah.
So you just eat more fruit and vegetable.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's all you can have really sometimes.
Yeah.
Have you got a crazy story for me?
I do. So this one's from probably a couple of months ago. I was on TikTok and I think I mentioned this in a previous episode that like I delete toxic comments that I get on my TikToks.
Yeah.
So I was scrolling through and I got this comment and I blocked the person. And then I get an email a few hours later from that person being like, why did you block me? Can you please add me back in like capitals? And I was like, what? And then I go onto my Instagram and this person has spammed my Instagram all the way back to 2014. Keep in mind, I think I've got like 1,000 posts. So she did a lot of scrolling. Then she was like an 18-year-old girl after I did some research. And so I'm like, what the hell? So then I block her on Instagram as well. And then her friend messages me. And I'm like, what is going on? And then they add me to a group chat with like 6 of their friends. And it's called, I can't remember what they called it. It was like Annie's pussies or like Annie's something. It was something weird. And I was like, what? So I'm like reading through this group chat and they were saying the most fucked things.
They're obsessed.
It was weird. It was like stalkers, like 18-year-old stalkers. But I also think that they were taking the piss. Like that was my take at the end.
Yeah.
But they were like, Annie, what would you rather? Fuck your dog, your mum or your sister? And like just saying the most absurd things I've ever heard in my life and sending like daily updates being like, Annie, what are you up to today? Or like, you know, just asking really crazy things. So
where are they from? Did you figure that out?
I didn't figure it out, but I think Queensland. I think I figured out they were from somewhere in Queensland.
Yeah.
Hopefully not Gold Coast. but yeah, and they just looked really strange from their like profiles from what I could see. And there were 2 guys in the group too. I think one of them was gay based off what they were saying.
Yeah.
Because they, yeah, I don't know. It was like, anyway, the whole conversation was so strange. And then I decided once I realized they were taking the piss to like play a game with them. So I started one by one blocking a person in the group.
Just slowly.
Slowly. So I did one. And then I waited for them to react. And then they were like, oh my God, she blocked me. Like, why did you block me? And then they'd react to it and like chaos would ensue. And then I would just block another one and wait a few days and the same thing would happen. And then eventually I just blocked all of them. But it was so funny just like watching them like.
Did you ever message in the chat?
No. I just was watching because it was in my hidden request. So I just would go and check.
So you can open it and they don't know.
Yeah. It was so funny. But yeah, very strange.
People are so bizarre.
Yeah. What do you have for me today?
My story is actually a really old one, but I feel like it has to be told because I haven't told many people this.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's crazy or if it's just sad.
Oh, well, there's been a few sad ones for me. So it's your turn.
I think I was 17 because I had my P's. I remember driving to this job, but I got hired at like a local Coles. I think it was about 15 minutes away from where I lived. And because I was young and new, they made me do all of the shitty jobs. Mm-hmm. And one night, it was probably like 8 or 9 o'clock at night. I think I finished at 10. And one of the ladies wanted me to clean the ovens that the roast chickens get cooked in.
Right.
And she's like, here's all the products you need. And I was like, cool, fine. Like, it's all stainless steel. It's going to be pretty easy. I'm like, gross. I don't really want to be doing this, but whatever. So I'm cleaning it all out. And she comes and she's like, no, like, you need to sit in there to get like the back of the oven as well. Like, these are huge industrial ovens. And I was like, okay, sure. And then all the bottom of my pants are getting wet. And I'm like, this is so annoying. And I'm so frustrated. But what am I meant to do? I've been here for a couple of nights. So I cleaned this oven. And then I was just like, you know what? This is a bit shit. And I literally just walked out at 17. I don't know where I got these balls from. I just left and I went home and I told my mom, I'm like, they were just making me do like shitty, weird things, not what I signed up for. And then the next day I had this massive acid burn.
Shut up.
On my leg.
From the oven.
From cleaning the oven because of the product.
Holy shit.
And like my pants had like, it just looked like my pants had indented in my skin. And it was the next day I'd like showered a couple of times and I was just so sad and scared.
That's horrific.
I know. And my mum was like, we need to sue Coles. This is so bad. And I was just like so traumatized. Yeah. I'm like, I don't want anything to do with it. We're not doing anything.
You definitely could have sued.
I just never went back and never said anything.
So what? You didn't even like send in your resignation?
No.
They never contacted you again?
Nope.
That's so weird and also fucked.
I can tell that this has like been buried deep inside of me because I've not told many people.
But you're like traumatized, which is fair enough.
Yeah, that's my sad story.
That's really sad.
I don't know who's this crazier today.
No, that's
fair. I know. This is a tough one. Always there's one sad one and one like funny, lighthearted one.
It's a good balance you both have.
Yeah.
They're both pretty wild. I think the acid burn is pretty. It's worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to give it. I'm going to give it to you, Tal. Yeah.
You're up. You're up one. What are we at now? You're three.
I don't know.
You've won three. I've won two.
Yeah.
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 We're pretty
I'll get you next time. All right. Bring me my shots. All right. Here we go. Okay. I'm just going to go bang, bang. Don't want to spill them. Okay. Ugh.
Good job.
Yucky. Okay, Taylor. So next up, we've got the sealed section. So how I thought about today's topic is I was having a conversation with my housemate and we were talking about ghosting.
Okay.
And sort of having a conversation about when it's okay and when it's not okay. And she was telling me about her experience with going on a date with a guy, sleeping with that guy, and then getting ghosted. And I was saying how, like, I've been ghosted, I've also ghosted, but it's never after having sex. It's always like beforehand. Right. Yeah. And I feel like that's okay. But when she told me that she'd slept with these guys and then they ghosted her, I think that that's disgusting.
Yeah, that's really rude.
Yeah. So I wanted to know your opinion on when you think ghosting is okay and when it's not.
I definitely think if you've just matched with someone on a dating app or it's just on Instagram and for some reason you get the ick or something happens or maybe something progresses with somebody else,
yeah,
ghost them. Who cares?
100%.
I think that I'm probably pretty bad with this.
Yep.
Like I said in the episode before, I've always been in relationships and now I'm looking back, I'm like, I think I'm the ghoster.
Okay. But like, is it within our rules of before sleeping with them or have you done it after as well?
I've had one guy who asked me to move to Germany with him after we met and slept together one time and he wanted me to move to Germany with him.
Was he being serious?
I think he was being serious because he's now overseas with another girl. So, so I think he was serious. And I have the ick because of his hair and he had nail polish on.
Yeah.
So I think I ghosted him. Well, but it was years ago. Now I'm just like, oh, I don't mind. Like, he's happy with her.
Did he chase you afterwards? Was he like trying
no.
to?
No.
Oh, well, that's okay then.
Not until recently. I've seen him in my message request and that's he's weird. Like, I was in Bali 3 times within 6 months
yeah.
last year. And he's like, do you live in Bali now? And I just didn't open it. And then he sent me a screenshot of when I was on the Lad Bible. And he's like, you're killing it. And I just didn't open it either. Like, enjoy Germany with yeah, your girl.
Yeah, literally. Oh, my God.
But, yeah, I don't know. I haven't had that much experience with ghosting. So I want to know your experiences.
I've had a lot of experience on both ends.
Okay.
I'm a chronicle ghoster. Like, I will ghost a lot. Like, it just depends. Like, actually, no, it doesn't depend. If I don't like a guy, I will ghost them. I've never had that adult conversation of being like, hey, like, you're really nice, but I don't see this going anywhere, because I get too awkward.
Yeah.
And there has been times where, you know, they have messaged me and followed up and I don't know what to do. I just panic. And so I leave it and I don't respond and I just wait for them to realize that, like, I'm done. But sometimes they don't get the hint. Like, they really don't. And so I just have to keep leaving them on scene or whatever. But then I've also been ghosted multiple times, and it's always after the second date. That I can't tell you, there's probably been like 6 guys in the past like 5 years that I've gone on 2 dates with, and then out of nowhere I've thought the dates have gone great.
Yeah.
And like, I'm pretty self-aware. Like, I'm not delusional. Like, I know when a date's going well, and like, I'm very confident in the fact that it's been going well. And then they just ghost, and it's happened way too often. And I've come to the conclusion that have you seen Good Luck Chuck?
I think so. Yeah.
So the main theme with these 6 guys is about a month or two later, they have girlfriends after we go on that second date. So my theory is that they were all seeing other girls or messaging other girls, dating other girls at the same time that they were dating me, and then decided they want to pursue this other girl. Yeah. And then they got into a relationship. That's my theory. Because
that's a good way to look at it, because then you're not sitting there going, what have I done? Or what did I say?
I definitely did still do that. But like, yeah, it was so weird. I feel like I'm a good luck charm, and they all find their lifelong partners. You're after
the one before the one.
Exactly.
I've got a friend who's like that too. She's like, I swear everyone's married after they date me.
Yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, I think I've definitely also, you know, I mentioned on a previous episode the guitar.
Yeah.
The guitar playing guy, we did sleep together, and I did ghost him.
I think everyone's guilty of it, and it's happened to everybody.
Yeah.
You just got to think that there's a reason.
Well, yeah, I think going forward, and this would be my advice to anyone that isn't keen on someone and they are keen on them, just be an adult. Send them a responsible adult message being like, hey, I've really loved spending time with you. You're a really great guy/girl, but I don't want to lead you on. I don't really see this going anywhere. I see us more as friends. Done. And my friend has done this quite a few times. Always gets a really good response. Mm. All guys have taken it really well. I think
at least you're honest.
Yeah. Because I, you know what, like, I think about the times I got ghosted, and I would have loved a message to be like, hey, this is how it is.
And you wouldn't have cared. You just closed the chapter.
Exactly. I wanted to know why and like just know what was happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
ghosting sucks.
It does suck. Don't do it.
Don't ghost. Annie, it is time to spill some tea.
Ooh.
I haven't read this yet, but it's a little bit long, but just from the first line, I think it's going to be juicy. This person has written, hi, so this is my tea. I have been secretly sleeping with my first cousin, and I think I'm in love with him. And that emoji with the eyes wide open.
No shit.
We first slept together about 2 years ago after a very drunken night out. The next day, I felt pretty ashamed and basically cut him off. We did not talk for the next 2 years. However, recently, some family changes occurred that have forced us to interact and attend some of the same events. Even though I hadn't seen him in 2 years, the first time seeing him, I had so many emotions come over me, and there was still a spark between us. We started slowly just messaging each other again back and forth about the family situation, but eventually the messages became more personal and intimate. And then he started coming over, and we eventually started having sex. We message and chat every day, all day. We both just feel comfortable and at ease with each other and tell each other everything. We have known our feelings for one another but always denied them. However, we are coming to acceptance now that as much as we have tried to cut it off between us, these feelings just won't subside. I'm still not wanting to say anything to our families, as I know the reaction will be heavily negative, which I don't want. To add to the tea, he also has a girlfriend. Hold on, I just got to scroll down. So that's a whole other conversation and something to deal with. It's pretty unorthodox situation, and at this stage, I don't feel like there's anybody that would understand. I've looked into it to be sure it is legal to marry your cousin in my country and that the chances of having healthy children is the same as any other couple. So it's really more of a societal perception as to the taboo aspect of dating your cousin.
What the fuck?
First of all, I want to know what country.
Yeah, what country?
Surely
is this?
Not here. Because
I don't think that's legal here. What the fuck is all I can say to that?
First cousin. So that means that
they
have parents who are siblings.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's so crazy. And also, I don't know if that's correct about biologically, if they had children, they'd come out without defects. I don't know that that's correct. I would have to look it up.
Yeah,
I'm not sure. But I think that's too close for comfort.
Yeah, there has to be some sort of crossover there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, my opinion on that would be, cold turkey, cut him off.
I feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. Like, you should not be doing that.
I think that boys, maybe not men, boys like the thrill of things that they shouldn't do.
Mm-hmm,
and he's got a girlfriend.
Right.
So this is probably just some fetish of his. And he's like, this is so naughty. This is my cousin. Like, yes. If our family found out, it's going to cause drama.
Yeah.
Or if my girlfriend found out, it's going to cause drama.
Yeah, it's the risk.
But she's obviously in love with him.
Yeah, in love with him.
I have like shivers. I feel weird.
Well, yeah, I think the fact he's got a girlfriend, I don't know. I feel like he's obviously not in love with the cousin. It is probably just a fetish thing for him. So if she's in love with him, she needs to just cut him off cold turkey.
Yeah.
Because first of all, that's your cousin. Second of all, he's got a girlfriend. There's so much wrong with that situation.
It's not worth the drama that it's going to bring to your family. And like your grandparents, your parents, they're probably not going to approve, and they're probably going to be extremely hurt.
Yes.
So you being in love with this boy for now, which might not be forever,
exactly,
is not worth putting your family through that.
No. I reckon the whole it'll blow up the whole family. I'm just trying to picture this in terms of me. The whole family would fall apart, you know?
Yeah.
No one's going to approve of that and support that.
I can't imagine it because I'm the eldest of like so many cousins. They're all like quite younger than me, and also I only have like three male cousins, male cousins.
Yeah.
So it's just, not even, in fathom. The picture. But like,
yeah.
Cold turkey, you're right.
Cold turkey, cut him off.
This needs to go.
Yeah, and don't tell anyone.
No.
Keep this a secret.
Yeah. It's got 159 likes and 549 comments.
Wow.
On this post.
Oh my God.
We need to read through.
Yeah, I want to read I want to read what other people have to say about it.
But yeah, that's our advice.
Yeah. Get rid of it, girl. Okay, guys, so we have a very special guest joining us, Miss Honey Brooks. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm so excited.
Oh, my God, I'm excited to have you.
Me too.
We have so much to talk about.
We do. And it's the first time I've actually met you, babes. Like, we've had lots of chats online.
Yeah.
But it's the first time we met, so this is going to be a fun catch up.
I know. I'm excited. So for those that don't know, Honey does OnlyFans. So she's in the top 0.2%, is it?
Yeah, I kind of flirt between 0.2 to 0.4.
You know,
the waves of business.
Yes, as it is, which is amazing. So we have a few questions for you.
Of course.
Get into the nitty gritty.
Yeah, let's do it.
Do you want to start off, Tay?
I will start. How long have you been doing OnlyFans?
It's coming up 2 years now, which is absolutely insane because it feels like I've blinked and I've just landed here.
It goes so quickly.
Oh, so fast.
Yeah.
I think because it's just a constant journey of growing and evolving and learning. So
something new every day.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No day is the same. Like, a lot of the content can be repetitive and you feel like that you are doing a lot of the same things, but it just goes wild every day. You know, you get a different custom request or you go on lives or you do a live call and, there's so much variety.
Yeah, it's the best thing about the job.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
So what made you start OnlyFans?
So I was working in network marketing. That was my background. So I had a really good understanding of business and how it was structured and online business as well. I also fell in love with being my own boss and just really working on my own terms. I got to a point in that business where I was just pouring so much time and energy into a business that was really reliant on other people, that was really reliant on other people working underneath me and getting things done and hitting promotions. And if they didn't, I really wasn't getting paid my worth.
Right.
And we actually went traveling around Australia and we got in the van, we went with our family, and there was a lady there doing OnlyFans. And at this stage, I'm a mum, I have no freaking idea what OnlyFans is. I'm
like, oh. So this was the first time you'd heard of it?
First time I've ever heard of it. Yeah. Like, I really didn't know much about the adult industry. I thought stripping was as far as it really went.
Yeah.
So when she was like, yeah, we do OnlyFans, I was like, oh yeah, cool, like amazing. And it wasn't until later at the campsite, people were like gossiping about it. And I was like, what is this OnlyFans?
What's going on?
Yeah. Like, what's this juicy stuff you're talking about? And I was like, that is fucking cool. Like, I love that. And I really saw an incredible business opportunity. Mm-hmm. Like, I saw this woman traveling and living her best life and living on her own terms. And it was so attractive to me because it literally just came down to her. At that time, I had a team of hundreds of women underneath me that I was managing. Mm-hmm. And I just knew it wasn't for me anymore.
Yeah.
It wasn't the direction I wanted to take. I didn't have that time freedom for the original reason that I had joined. And when I saw that she was building this business on her own and she was doing it her way, I was like, fucking sign me up.
So cool,
yeah. Yeah. So I just, I fell in love and actually researched the industry for so long because I didn't know anything about it. I researched for so long, had chats with Hank, my husband, who is a big part of my business now. And yeah, we were like, this is cool. Let's go balls deep in this.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was good.
Good on you.
You do a lot of live shows on OnlyFans.
Yes, I do.
What is the craziest thing or something wild that's happened to you on a live show?
Oh my God. I swear every live show something wild happens, like something's just absolutely crazy. I don't normally like to do anal scenes live, mm-hmm. For obvious reasons.
Yep. And unpredictable.
Yeah, uh-huh, right. And one night I was just getting real frisky. Hank was there and we're enjoying ourselves and the subs were asking for anal. I was like, yeah, I think I had a few wines. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. So off we do. We go do our thing. And of course, because I didn't prep, and I was just having the time of my life, I didn't realize that some just, you know, juices were just flowing and coming
the
out.
Juices were juicing.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was really great. I've also had a live show where I do a lot of squirt shows. So I was squirting and I didn't realize my period was coming. So it was literally like just a huge squirt of blood and period.
No.
And it's really cool because my subs, like, they know how real and authentic I am. And
that's actually good because it shows them that.
Yeah. Like it wasn't a place where I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm dying on the inside. I was like, oh, you know, fuck it. Like,
exactly.
I'm a woman. Like, this happens. But obviously it's against the OnlyFans.
Did they pick it up?
Well, no, I removed it from my vault straight away because I was concerned that they would pick it up. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's not like I purposely did it. So I removed it from the vault. But yeah, there's been some like just insane things that have happened. And I think when you go live and you just do the things, it's like anything.
Yeah.
It's just
things
are going to happen.
Yeah. OnlyFans picked up one of mine. The same thing happened with the anal scene on a live and it just never went into my vault.
Oh, they just.
So it just disappeared.
So they were, they did you a favor. They were like, yeah, that's
the
going in.
It's gone. But like, I think when you're open with subs, like you said, that it makes them want more. Mm-hmm. So like, this is really Honey Brooks, this is her.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah, like I totally agree. I think mainstream porn, they can get that online. They can go and look at the perfect body and you know, not have any mishaps. And you know, they can go and get that so easily for free. But I really think the subscribers come to your page because they want to see how real you are. They want to know who you are and what you're doing. And when you're going live and you're giving them that opportunity to tap into who you are and show yourself, those things come with it as well. But I reckon you're right. Like, they absolutely froth on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
So you film with your husband, as you mentioned.
Yes.
Does that ever get in the way of your relationship? Do you guys ever fight about OnlyFans or is it all easy, smooth sailing?
No, not at all. it's really funny because it's actually brought us so much closer together.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And, you know, we do have little arguments. It's like, Hank, why are you holding the camera that way? Like, that angle is shit. What are you doing? Like, and, you know, there's little tips throughout when we're filming. But we've never had a disagreement throughout our whole business. And I think it really comes down to we're just open and honest with each other. Even though, yes, I'm the face of the business and, you know, the content is mainly based around me, he still is involved in every single decision because we're married. And it is, even though it is business, it's really important that we do cover our boundaries and make sure that we're both comfortable. Mm. So I think the fact that we have that open relationship and that we are communicating about every single step throughout the business, we don't really come like, yeah, we don't really hit any hurdles. Our sex life has definitely like gotten way better.
That's
yeah.
good.
Yeah. 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 Like it's just, I think because it's given me the opportunity to film content that I probably wouldn't necessarily, I don't know if I wouldn't do it, but I wouldn't have had the opportunity to be like, yeah, cool, let's try it. So it's opened new doors for us in the bedroom in the sense of like, let's film it and see, you know, if we like it and where it goes. And yeah, it's just really made us open with each other and it's been really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It makes
yeah.
you so much more comfortable.
Yeah, 100%. And also what it's done is before OnlyFans, I really felt that like our sex life, like when we were having sex, I was a little bit in my head like, oh, like how do I look? Like what's going on? What angles, you know? And now because I'm editing the videos and I'm seeing all the content, I'm like, is that what he gets to see all the time? I was like, oh,
I look hot.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, dear. I was like, no wonder my guys love this angle. Yeah. So it's been really great transition for me because obviously when you're filming, there's no hiding any of that. Like it's out there and you're doing it. So yeah, it's been really great for me. Now I just feel so much more comfortable. I feel so much more open and yeah, the sex is good.
I love it.
Yeah.
What are some of your goals over the next couple of years?
Oh, goodness.
Personal and career.
Personal and career. So at the moment, I am just absolutely loving the OnlyFans platform. I've loved it since day one and I will continue to do it until I love it. I really don't want to put a time limit on it for me. I think if there comes a time where I'm not enjoying it or there comes a time and I feel like, oh, I just can't be bothered, I think that's when I'll just phase it out. Mm-hmm. Because for me, if there's no passion and there's no love there and it's not lighting me up, then everyone's going to feel that. Like yeah. subscribers are going to feel that. My yeah. following's going to feel that. So I am just going to do it until it makes me happy. I am also, as you ladies know, working on another podcast and the new business Honey's Making Money.
Love it.
Yeah, which I'm really excited about. Like it really lights me up. It's all based around helping new creators in the industry just to feel educated and giving them the tools and the resources to build their accounts and get a knowledge around that. So I'm pouring myself into that because that really lights me up. I come from a background of helping women build businesses and supporting women. And when I came into OnlyFans, I was like, where is the support?
Yes, I know, right?
Like, and this was 2 years ago yeah. as well. I think there's much more around now, which definitely. I absolutely love. Like there's really cool things to tap into. But when I joined 2 years ago, I was just like, I had all this passion and all this love. And then I was just like, oh, I feel so alone.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know what to do. So giving back and being able to, you know, share some of my stories and my knowledge with other creators is really lighting me up at the moment. So that's what I'm pouring myself into.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. So on that topic, if you could give one piece of advice to someone that's just starting out on OnlyFans, what would it be?
It would definitely be to stay consistent,
mm-hmm.
like to stay consistent no matter, even if you feel like you're not getting anywhere, because there has been days where right at the start I was hustling and in the trenches for months and months on end and doing the small things in my business and I felt like it went nowhere. I felt like it was going nowhere. But all that hard work and all that consistency has just compounded now.
Mm-hmm.
I was saying to Hank the other day, when we first started our business, he was really involved with the social media. And like, I remember we started it from zero, no following. And when we got to 1,000 followers, we went feral. Like, we were so excited. We're like, yes, this is amazing. And then we got to 10,000 and I was like, we've made it. I was like, we've made it in the world of OnlyFans. And the brand Honey Brooks has just ticked over 100,000 followers, which,
amazing.
So exciting. Yeah, which is such a big testament to the consistency there. Like, just really showing up as a brand and really putting yourself in, the hard work in at the start. Because at the start, we were just, every day we had our DMO, we had our list to do, and we'd go there and we'd do it and we'd work on the social media. So, you know, sometimes it's going to feel like that you're a duck on top of water and you're just floating ever so slowly and your legs are going as fast as they can. But it does pay off and it compounds. Another piece of advice that I think is really important is knowing your boundaries. Mm-hmm. Like, just being really clear around what you are comfortable with and what you're willing to do. Because the last thing you want to do is dive into the business and kind of get sidetracked with money, right?
Yeah.
So sometimes we see these dollar signs, we're like, oh yes, like I want to do it. And then sometimes we can put some content out there that we don't feel 100% yeah. comfortable with. So mm-hmm. I think setting those boundaries and being really clear on having a list that you will not cross, like I'm not going there, that's yeah. not what I'm going to put out there. And then having your yes list and just staying consistent.
Yeah, mm. I agree.
So, honey, you live on a farm. Tell us about farm life.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. It's just absolutely amazing. We just have all the animals, which is really fun.
What animals do you have?
We have 5 dogs for starters.
Wow.
Yeah, they're all really big dogs as well. So we got cats, chooks, goats, horses. We ride horses and cows. Have I forgot any?
Oh my God, that's yeah. like my dream.
Yeah.
I want to live on a farm one day.
Yes.
It's so fun.
Oh, it's so good. But yeah, I absolutely love it. Like, I've grown up on like farms my whole life. So it's just like ingrained in me. I just wake up and it's just, it's the absolute best. And also for like filming and OnlyFans, we have 100 acres. So we never run out of like content or content ideas or where to film, and we're really blessed in the sense that like we don't have close neighbors, so
yeah, that's so good. Yeah, you can do anything.
Yeah. If we want to do outdoor content, which I think we take for granted because we're so used to it, we're like, yeah, let's do a heap of outdoor content, and I meet some creators and they're like, oh, I wish we could just
yeah.
do that.
Yeah, that's like me.
Yeah. Oh, you'll have to come.
Oh my
come
god, visit. Come to the farm. Yeah, yeah,
we could do some content on the farm. But no, it's so good. It's yeah, the absolute best. I wouldn't have it any other way.
Okay, so honey, you mentioned before that you've just started a podcast. Uh-huh. Did you want to tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So as I mentioned earlier on, I did join 2 years ago in the industry. And when I did join, I was just desperately looking for some kind of online girl gang, some kind of advice. And what I found back then, the only advice I could really tap into were a lot of the time males sharing their advice who had a marketing background, which is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
But I just couldn't find any women who had just been in the trenches, who were building their business currently, who had been through all the hurdles, had tried different things, and that were just sharing some advice. So I ended up just building my business from scratch and being like, well, if there's no one out there at the moment doing it, like I'm going to have to figure out how to build my business on my own from scratch and learn the do's and the don'ts. And I fucked up heaps and, you know, I fell down and I got back up and I researched so much. Like, I researched the ins and outs of the industry. And I put it all to the test, and I've now come to a place in my business where I've got a really great flow. I've got an incredible business and it's flowing nicely, and I want to be able now to give back to creators who are thinking about joining the OnlyFans industry or have just joined and they're hustling and they feel like they're not getting anywhere. It was funny, I actually watched a video, and this is the inspiration behind it. I don't know why I did this, but before I started my OnlyFans journey, I filmed like my whole thought process.
Yeah,
and I filmed, you know, when I was researching and what I was doing, and it popped up on my phone and I started watching it. I just remember thinking, oh my gosh, like this girl had so much passion and she was so excited and so lost at the same time, like just didn't know where to go. So that was the inspiration behind starting the podcast and really taking it back to basics and sharing it through a journey of, you know, if you are thinking about joining OnlyFans, is OnlyFans for you, branding and just taking new creators on a journey of what I think are some cool tools and resources to tap into early on.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. Very exciting.
Can't wait to join you.
Yes, I'm so excited to have you guys on the podcast. It's going to be so much fun.
I wish it existed when I started a year ago.
Me too.
The first thing I looked for was a podcast and all of them. There were a couple, mostly in the US, but I found they weren't quite as explicit and like nitty gritty as what I wanted to know. It was very just, here's five tips to start your OnlyFans. I'm like, no, I need more.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. That's what I found as well. It was either really vague information out there, or like YouTube was quite big back then. Like I remember I was finding most of the information on YouTube, but what I was noticing was the girls that were doing the YouTube videos, they were just really talking about how much they'd made in their first week. And it was, I felt like it was a bit of a marketing thing. So when I went to their profile to be like, oh, cool, like what are they doing now? A lot of them weren't still doing it. So there was a big question mark around like the longevity with it. And maybe women aren't, or creators aren't lasting so long in the industry because there is no help, because there's a lack of knowledge around how to actually build a business and sustain it and build it for longevity.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's really cool that now we've got so many other tools and resources to tap into and, be able to help other creators.
And you get to make the newest platform
for
all of us.
Yeah. Yes. Very exciting.
Well, thanks so much for joining us, honey. We've loved having you on.
Thank you so much for having me. And like I said before, I can't wait to have you guys on.
Oh my God, me neither.
Oh, it's going to be so fun. But yeah, thank you so much for having me. I've had lots of fun.
Do you want to give your socials a plug and your podcast so people can come and follow you?
Yeah, for sure. Instagram's the best place to come say hey if I haven't been deleted. And that's Honey with two Y's Brooks. And the Honey's Making Money Instagram is Honey's Makin, M-A-K-I-N money, and then an underscore. So you can connect there.
So exciting.
Yes.
Okay, Taylor, so we've got our favorite segment, Do You Remember? So what do you have for me today?
Okay, mine, I don't think it's that niche. I feel like you're going to relate.
Really?
But do you remember having a Nintendo DS?
Of course.
I had a pink one.
I had the silver
Nintendo DS Lite, I think, they came out with like, so it was the silver one and they came out with like a blue and a pink. It was like a baby pink.
Oh, I remember. Yes.
I had the pink one. Cute. But on that, do you remember PictoChat?
Yes. And you would color it in the whole screen black.
But there was a limit of only 6 people in the chat. Maybe it was 5. It might have been even less.
Hang on. Are we thinking about the same thing?
It was
that thing where you can type with the.
Yeah. So you would join, you go on and there's chat group A, B, C, D.
Oh, yes.
And you could join the chat group, but there was a limit of how many people you could have.
Oh.
So I've got two sisters and we'd go on holidays with another family. There's 3 kids in that family and obviously we'd make friends and whatnot. And I remember we used to kick out my friend's little brother of the chat.
Oh, my God.
Because there was only a limit and you couldn't get back in. Oh, God. So the younger kids would be like, well, we're going to make another chat.
And no one cared about that chat.
No. Yeah, you try and colour in the whole screen.
Yeah, but there was always one little dot that you couldn't colour in.
Yeah, that's why. Do you remember?
I love that.
I think one of my ex-boyfriends has my DS.
Oh, get that back.
I know.
That's gold. I wish I had mine. I want to pay Nintendogs.
Yeah, I had Sims. I had a Sims game on the DS.
Sims.
And like a zoo game where you could build a whole zoo and make money.
I had that too.
It was really cool. Yeah,
that was a really good one.
I actually, this is lame, but I have the roller coaster version of that.
Roller Coaster Tycoon?
Yeah, on the computer.
Love it.
So I play it.
Me too. Well, it had probably been like 3 years, but I used to play it.
Mine was definitely this year. What's yours?
Okay, so mine's a little bit niche, but do you remember Pigeon Boy?
No.
I knew you wouldn't know what it was because it was on like free-to-air TV, I'm pretty sure, like similar to Soap Opera, which I mentioned in episode 1. But it's like this little kid that's cartoon and he turns into a pigeon. He's like a superhero. I'm so embarrassed. You know what?
I have a vague picture in my head.
It was like, I'm trying to think of a show to like that was similar to it. You know Arnold? Remember Arnold?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that sort of cartoon style. But okay. Yeah, it was this guy. He was a normal boy going to school and he used to get bullied and stuff. But aww, he had this like low-key superpower that he could turn into a pigeon.
Just fly away.
And be a pigeon boy and fly away. No, he like fought bad guys and like he was like a superhero. I'm really hoping someone can relate to this because I remember it and I looked it up just to make sure that it wasn't a fake memory.
You weren't dreaming it?
Yeah. And it was real.
Imagine if it didn't come up and you're like,
oh my
it.
God, I know. I made this up in my head.
I have this weird dream that was recurring for like 5 years maybe.
Yeah.
That my mum and dad were chasing me in Whitewater World in dress up as SpongeBob and Patrick.
What?
And I had it so many times, this same dream. I
wonder what the deep trauma is.
I don't
there.
Know. I've been to Whitewater World once and I was maybe 7 or 8 and my parents are separated, so my dad wasn't even there.
That's
random. It was
random.
With my mum. But, yeah, they were SpongeBob and Patrick chasing
wow.
me.
Wow.
So random. I don't know why I just told the world that.
Love it.
Well, thank you guys for listening to this week's episode.
All our socials are going to be in the show notes. So if you want us to discuss anything on the show, make sure you send us a message and let us know.
And we'll chat to you next week.
Bye. Double dice.